goodness of God, you would not be here this morning. You would not even be alive this morning. Many of you are here this morning burdened by something. Burdened by bad report. Burdened by what the enemy's doing. I've got a word for you this morning. You are surrounded by his love. You are surrounded by his faithfulness. You are surrounded by saints all around you. The word of God says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run the race that is set before us. With hope, with confidence that God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen, church. Amen. Sing that one.
So my life, have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm saved of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am in,
how many of you this morning could use a fresh touch from God? I want you to come forward. You've come here this morning and you're burdened by something. There's something that is holding you back. To do this right in the beginning of service. I believe we've given the enemy way too much credit. We've magnified him in other areas of our life, probably way too much. And God is saying, here and now, I am much bigger than what you face. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up each and every one of them right now as they've come forward, Lord God. That Holy Spirit, you will go in and minister to each and every one of them right now in the name of Jesus. That everything that they've carried here that is weighing them down, Lord, they are setting them aside. They're stripping down every weight that is holding them down. every bad report, every whisper of the enemy, every imagination that is not from God, every thought that is not from Him is being held captive in the name of Jesus and brought into submission of God. That, Lord, your precious blood covers them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. That you empower them, Lord God, with your love, with your grace. That they will leave this place not the same. I speak strength to your back right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak comfort and peace. Let's give God some praise this morning. Breakthrough's coming, church. Breakthrough's coming. You may be seated. Amazing worship. Amazing worship, guys. Isn't that awesome? That we can worship the Lord of Lords freely, freely in this place. Freely in this country. Amen. It's something that we should never take for granted. Anchor Youth and Tidal Wave, you may be dismissed. Look at them go. Today is Treasure Chest Sunday. For parents who are new here to Oceans United, we train them in the Word, okay? We don't just go back there and babysit kids. When we are having church, they're having church too. When we are worshiping here, they are worshiping too. So every month they memorize one verse, which is a verse that ties in with a theme that we do throughout Children's Church, and then they get rewarded at the end of the month, and we call this Treasure Chest Sunday. So we have some kind of item for them that we'll give away based on the age group, okay? So there's some candy, there's some sugar that we send with you guys, so that way you can take care of that when you get home, okay? So, yeah, you're welcome. We're glad to sow. Amen. Last week, we began a new series called Let's Reach. How many of you were here last week? It was amazing. We had Pastor Jimmy Shaw from Oklahoma that came and launched that first series, and we talked about how connection within the church helps us reach better, further. The impact is greater when we are connected. Amen? So, speaking of connect, if you're new here this morning, I encourage you to fill out one of these. It's called a connect card. When you fill this one out, we are able to connect with you. We're able to get you plugged in, part of this body. Or we're able to pray for you. At the back of it, we have prayer requests and praise reports. So we can actually get in touch with you. And if there's anything throughout the week that you have a burden and you want to share with us, we're able to pray with you. Amen. It's good to be able to have a church where we are connected. We're not just here just to attend church. We are here because we are the church. We don't just come to attend church. We are the church. Amen? So, let's reach. Every time when we mention the word reach, we have a natural tendency to think that reaching is just on the outside. we tend to think that reach is about others excluding us. Reach starts with us. It starts with you. It starts with me. It's a decision that we make. It's a personal decision that we make to reach. Just like we demonstrated last week. So that picture right there. You see this fine young man? Fine, good-looking young man. Connecting. And reaching out. That's how we are more effective as a church, when we are connected. Our reach is more impactful when we are connected. Just by ourselves, we can only reach this much, this far. But when we are connected as a body, the impact is even greater. Amen? So, reach cannot be forced. We can't force anybody to reach. It's a personal decision that you and I, we make on a day-to-day basis. Am I going to reach out to this person by making a phone call? Am I going to text that person to just say, hey, I'm praying for you this week. I believe in you. Whatever you're going through, guess what? You're not going through it alone. We are connected. We are connected by divine appointment. None of us are here this morning because we didn't have anywhere else to go. We're here this morning because we want to be here. In fact, it's a decision that we made last night. We made that decision last night that we're going to show up this morning at church. I made that decision last night. I was going to show up at church this morning. Part of me was like, hey, you know what? Probably I should sleep in. I could have actually gone outside and enjoy the good weather. But I made a decision last night that I was going to show up here this morning. And I helped my family to make that decision as well. We have a sense of responsibility in this thing. When we are part of a family, we have a sense of responsibility to make sure that each member of that family remains connected. It's my job to make sure that my wife is connected with what we do as a family. It's my job to make sure that my 5 kids are connected to what we do as a family. It's my job, my responsibility. So it's your responsibility to make sure that your family is also connected with what you believe as a family. Coming to church is what you do as a family, so you make sure that your family remains connected. Reach cannot be forced. But you can be encouraging in your way, especially in your family, to make sure that, hey, buddy, let's get going. We're going to church this morning. It's a happy place. Amen? So our opening scripture this morning is Philippians 3:13. This is Paul writing this. And Paul says, brethren, which means brothers and sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended or arrived or achieved. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And then in verse 14, it says this, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a decision that Paul made. It's a decision that he made to say this, that I do do not count myself to have arrived. I haven't arrived yet. I am not going to settle for what I have. There is much more. The image that we got out of this scripture is this. A runner. He's ready to go. He's seeing the finish line. And he's running his race. And he's reaching forward towards that finish line. He's not looking back. He's not looking to the side. He's not looking at anybody. He's actually so driven and focused by this finish line that he's willing to let go of everything else that can hold him back. That is the imagery that we get from that scripture. That is what Paul is saying. He said, would you let go of everything that can slow you down? Do you have any things that can slow you down in your walk with Christ? Are there things that can get in the way? There are big things that can get in the way. There are small things that can get in the way. Sometimes we think about the big things and we start focusing on those big things. But then the Holy Spirit comes in and said, what about these little things that you could be holding on to? What about this little bit of unforgiveness? What about this little thing of unforgiveness right there? Or bitterness? Or whatever it might be that we might think that are very little. But these are weights in the race that we don't need to carry. You and I, we don't need to carry any of it. In fact, when I read that in Hebrews chapter 12, it's actually talking about let's strip down every weight that will slow us down. Because we are in this race and we must reach forward towards that finish line in that race. We must go after it. We must reach forth until we attain that highest prize of God's calling upon your life, upon mine. You can't sit back and walk this race. We can't tap dance around this race. We must be fully engaged in this race. That's what Paul is talking about. He says, would you engage yourself in this race just like I am engaged in this race? Mind you, when Paul wrote this, he's accomplished much. A whole lot. He's accomplished like 3 long missionary journeys. He's planted over 14 different churches. He's written 13 out of 27 books. I would say he's accomplished much. Would you agree? He's done a whole lot. He could just say, you know what? I've done so much. Look, I've done a lot. I can just say, let others drive forward. Let others carry me forward in this race. But he's like, no. No. This is my race. Just like this is your race. No one can run the race for you. You must run the race yourself. No one can engage in the race with the same passion, with the same conviction. You've been called to run this race. So Paul is saying, don't count yourself to have arrived. Don't stop there. Reach forward to what lies ahead of you. Keep your eyes on that finish line. And that's what Paul is challenging us today. Reaching forward is not just a personal decision. It's a progressive decision. Every day, you got to wake up and say, I'm engaged in this race. Every day, you got to wake up and you say, Lord, strip down every weight that is slowing me down today. I want to run this race freely. Need any of those weights that will slow me down. Help me, Holy Spirit. That is what Paul is trying to teach us. He's trying to say progressive is in the sense that when we feel like we've arrived, we have a tendency to just say, you know what, I'm going to kick my shoes up, out, and I'm going to sit down on the couch, and I'm just going to thing. When you look at us as a church, as a body, we can look at everything that we accomplish and we just say, you know what, that's good. That feels good. We've reached out so many people. We're about to reach an extra 500 some people next Saturday. Why don't we just relax a little bit? Let's just take it easy. Now's not the time to take things easy. Now's the time to light up the fire. And said, Lord, I am ready to press on. I'm ready to push forth and reach the goal that you set for me. Reaching forward implies three things. Number one is it unlocks the prison called self. It unlocks the prison. Here's one shocking statement about self. You probably have never thought about it. Self, it's you. It's talking about you. Self is talking about me. Self wants to hang on to stuff. Self never wants to let go and let God. Self wants to be comfortable. Have you ever been locked up in a prison called self? Well, here's a good check on how you can tell. Are you comfortable? If you're way too comfortable, you're probably in that prison. Seen so much of what you've accomplished and you say, you know what, that's good enough. Or the flip side of this would be you failed so much. You've got a list of all the failures that you've had and you've parked there and you've stopped there. That's also a prison. Because you've made that all about you. That's what self is about. It's all about me. The number one me. It's all about me. When you make the race all about you, you lose sight of God. You lose sight of what he has for you. It involves you. It involves me. But it's not. Self wants to some things that are not right here. Let's not address these things because we don't want anybody to know about this. But when you get out of jail, guess what? You'd swing those gates wide open. You allow the light of the Holy Spirit to shine through. That's how you get out of jail, is when the light of the Holy Spirit shines through those doors. And then you walk out into the light as He is in the light. Amen. So the light of God drives you out of that prison. But it's a decision that you and I will make as we reach forward. Lord, as I'm reaching forward, would you swing those gates wide open? Let me get out so I can serve you unconditionally without any weights holding me back and holding me down. I want to run the race. I don't want to be held back. I don't know any of you here who have a desire to be held back. It's like being held back in school, in a class. Nobody wants that. I want to graduate. I want to move forward. I want to finish my race. I don't want to be held back. A lot of times self would actually hold us back. And Paul is addressing this. He says, don't allow self to get in and stop you from running your race. This is how Jesus addressed this. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, I believe that would be all of us here this morning. If anyone desires to come after me, this is what he says, let him deny himself. He's talking about self. Let him deny himself. Let him put self down. I'm not talking about putting yourself down in the words. I'm just good for nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about putting aside you and putting God first. That's what we're talking about. Like, let God be first in everything that you do. And the only way you can do that is put self down. Deny yourself. Put God first. You don't need to be number one. He needs to be number one. And then it says, take up his cross and follow him. Deny himself, take up his cross daily. Daily. And follow me. That's a key word there. It's a daily surrender unto God that gets us to finish the race strong. Daily surrender unto God. But you say, what cross do I need to pick? Didn't Jesus carry the cross for me? Why should I pick up a cross? He did it for me. True. True. That's not the cross that Jesus is talking about here. Because you would say, what cross? What cross? Well, let me answer this question by another question. If you say, what cross? And I'm going to ask you this question. What is the most important job in the world? What is the most important job in the world? Come on. One answer. The most important job in the world could be all of that. Preach the gospel. Do this. Do that. Do everything. Right? In the church. Help out in the church. Or whatever it might be that God has assigned for you to do. The most important job in the world is this. The one thing. The one task. The one saying, reaching forward. It starts with you. It starts with me. And I make that decision in the morning that I'm going to stand up. I'm going to pick up my cross. I'm going to come in and preach the word. I'm not going to just stay at home, but I'm going to come here and preach the word. That's my cross. That's why my one assignment, the one thing that I must do. If you've watched City Slickers, you will know about this one thing that Jack Palance talks about. One thing. And everybody throughout this movie is trying to figure out what is this one thing. The one thing is the job that God has for you. Do it with everything that you have. That is your cross. Reaching forward unlocks the prison called self and allows you to pick up the cross to do that one thing, that one assignment that God has for you. And number two is reaching forward means this. Lean on God rather than self. Reaching forward would allow you to do this. Lord, I'm going to lean on you for the answers that I'm seeking. I'm going to lean on you for the understanding that I need to accomplish the task. Because this assignment that you've given to me does not make sense to me. How many of you have been called to do something and you know it's the Holy Spirit, it's God's assignment, but you have no clue how to do it? That's a good start. That's probably a good way to know that this task is from God. Because it's impossible for you to do it by yourself. Everything that God wants to do in your life would exclude self. Because God wants you receive Christ. Coming out of a Hindu background, when I received Christ, God gave me this one task, this one assignment. I was so new to the faith. I was the second one in my family to actually receive Christ, and I was trying to figure out how God speaks. I knew the word had wisdom. I knew God was able to speak to me. Because he was good God. That was my very first revelation that I serve a good God. He's not out there to kill me. Because all my life I grew up thinking that God was after me. Then when I was in college and I was a sophomore and I got this revelation that God is good. He speaks to me. He didn't just save me to just drop me out here and said, run the race. Because he knew that I had no idea on how to run this race. He said, I'm going to be with you along the way, buddy. You're surrounded. You're surrounded not just by me. You're surrounded by people who run the race before you. Such a great cloud of witnesses. So he put me on this race and said, I want you to believe me for the impossible. And he said, I want you to leave where you are and go to Oral Roberts University. And I'm still a sophomore. I'm like, it doesn't even make sense, Lord. What do you want me to do, quit school? You want me to just stop what I'm doing? I'm going for an MIS degree. And I'm like, it's great, good paying job afterwards. I can just stay in England. I don't need to go anywhere. I'll work on my master's and all of this other stuff. I had a plan. I already knew where I was going. I knew where I was heading. But God's challenge for me was this. Would you deny yourself? Would you put self to the side and follow me? And all I could say was just like, yes, Lord. You show me the way. I had no idea how all of these would be pieced together. But yet again, I was like, Lord, my natural mind is struggling with this. This is what it is, Lord. It's going to cost this much per year. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, it's like $40,000 a year. How in the world am I going to make this? I'm in college and I'm broke. that this will come to pass. And I'm doing the math, you know. I'm doing the math up here, and it's not computing with what is here. I'm like, Jesus, please, make some sense out of this. So I'm speaking with that kind of tone, you know, thinking somehow he would be able to speak. It took 2 years before the full revelation of the plan of what he wanted me to do. Yet again, he did not say, okay, here's all the big picture. I got a little glimpse of what it was. And God said, would you trust me and follow that little speck that you see? Because I could not even see that finish line. All I could see was just a little speck in the distance. And God was saying, could you stay focused on this and reach forward towards that? I can do that. I can do this. Let me just reach forward to what I see. I see you calling me, and that's all I need. It took a couple of years, but then, in 1998, every penny that I needed for school showed up. I couldn't do it by myself because we didn't have the money. All I knew was that God spoke, and he's true to his word. He's faithful. He's a good God. And what he says he will do, he will do it. And that's all we need. That's all we need to run the race. We don't need the master plan to run the race. We just need one word from God. And we just respond and say, Lord, I'm engaged in this race. Would you run alongside me? He's a good father. Just imagine when you were showing your kids on how to ride a bike. This is the way I do it. I'm running alongside them when they're on the bike. Sometimes I'm all holding the saddle in the back. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Don't wiggle so much. Just stay still. You're going to be able to do it. That's exactly how God helps us in the race. When we're a little bit wobbly, he stabilizes us and says, steady, steady, slow down. Keep the pace. Keep the pace. Stay on the course that I've set before you. Keep your eyes on me at every time. Because believe me, when God has spoken to do stuff in your life, things will not make sense. Welcome to your Christian life. If you thought for 1 minute that the moment you gave your life to Christ, boom. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. There would be chaos. There would be storms. There would be turmoil. There will be some weights that you need to straighten down. There will be all of it. But if you stay true and focus to the task, that one thing that God has called you to do, you will. That's basically what it is. All of us are engaged in our own race. Keep our eyes on him. He will help us to finish this race. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord. Trust him. With all of your heart. Your heart. Like here. Not so much here. Because believe me, it doesn't make sense up here. When you're following God. But the heart would guide you, would lead you. It says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything that you do, acknowledge him. Simply meaning, put him first. Put him first in your finances when you're struggling with finances. Put him first in your time planning, scheduling, and everything else. Because you're struggling in that area. But when you put him first, everything else gets lined up. And I remember when God, it's like after I believed God for the money, they were just coming in. so much money that as a teenager, I'm like, what do I do? I have no idea how to handle that much money by myself. Lord, give me understanding on how you want me to handle this. So in England, you go to Barclays Bank. You know Barclays Bank, John? So you'll go to the bank and you find some financial advisor, somebody who's got some kind of knowledge. Would you invest the money? Would you help me to make wise decisions? That's how it works, guys. It's by obeying God in the small things. The small things where He's directing us. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I believe He directed my path to Barclays Bank. I believe He directed my path to talk to the admissions team. When I start writing down on the piece of paper on the application, because they're asking for financial proof at the time when you're going to apply for admission in the school, especially when you're coming as an international student, they want to see the money. Basically, they were asking me this question. Show me the money. Show me the money. And I had nothing to show for. But one word that I got from God. I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I remember writing this scripture down, Philippians 4:19. I wrote this down on my application until I got a phone call from the director of admissions. Believing, the whole team is believing with you. But we need a little bit more than just that. But I'm like, hold on, I heard from God. He says that He will provide for me. And He did. At the end, I was able to show the evidence of what I was believing God for. That's what faith is, right? It's the substance things that you're hoping for, and the evidence of things that are not seen. All I could think of is just the evidence of the unseen. Mr. Director of Admissions, would you go along with me on that? The evidence is coming. Just hold tight. It's coming. I was 100% convinced that God will provide for me to accomplish the task, that one assignment that is given to me. Because at the end of the day, this assignment was His. That was His assignment. He just chose me to accomplish this assignment. And I'm just happy to be part of it. It's like, Lord, this is your deal. Whatever it is, I'll just do it. You just show me the way. It was that simple faith that I had. You know, maybe over the years, you tend to over-spiritualize that thing called faith. And each time, God will remind me, go back to that first time when I spoke to you about faith. When you believed me for the impossible, that one day when you heard my voice. And each time when I'm trying to believe God for something that is crazy impossible, He'll remind me, say, go back. Go back to what I told you the very first time in 1996. I gave my life to Christ in June 1996. In November 1996 is when God spoke that. It didn't take long. He knew I would not fully understand. He did not wait until I was mature. I was just 3 months old as a baby Christian. He knew I would believe Him for that. That will be the same for you this morning. What is this one thing that God has called you to do? That you probably have said, you know, it's impossible. I can't do this. Lord, I'm just going to push this to the side because it's too much for me. But God is saying, would you just believe me for it? reaching forward, his eyes locked on Jesus. Eyes locked on Jesus. Going back to that scripture that I mentioned earlier, lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Locking eyes with Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That word looking means this: having eyes for no one but Jesus. Having eyes for no one but Jesus. Here's something that I want you to think about throughout this week. If I'm looking at Jesus, what is he looking at? If I'm looking, I've got eyes locked on him, and I'm looking at Jesus, what is he looking at? It's me, of course. He's looking at me. But what is he seeing? What is he looking at? Jesus asked the disciples the same question. He said, "Do you not say there is still 4 more months? Then comes the harvest." And then he said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already white, already for harvest. When Jesus sees you, he sees your role that you play in the harvest. He sees your role, what you play in this church concerning the harvest. When he sees you, he sees where you work. He sees your whole sphere of influence on where you are. There are people where you are that need to be reached for Jesus. He sees you in that role being played out in such a way that you're instrumental in the life of someone else. That's reaching forward outside of yourself. He sees your role when you're checking out your grocery at Safeway. He's seeing you in such an intricate way that he sees you, he sees the connection or the connections that you have in your sphere of influence. That's what God sees. What is your role in the harvest? What should you do for the harvest? Better question: who has your eyes? Who has your eyes? As we close, I want you to think about these things. This is not just a message to get you pumped up and give you a few goosebumps. This is a challenging message, because I want you to think outside of yourself. I want you to challenge yourself. And I want you to say, "Lord, what is my role? I am the church. We all make up the church. What role do I play in this church? What role do I play in the harvest? How can I reach forward to accomplish the task, to engage myself in the ways that God has set before me? How do I trust him for the impossible when I'm looking at everything around me and everything is screaming impossible, closed doors, impossible?" the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? He's speaking to individuals this morning, all around this place. Your first thing you must do is to engage yourself in the race. And that's simply by saying, Jesus, here I am. I'm ready. I'm ready to lay aside everything. And I'm ready to run this race that you have for me. This race is called your Christian walk. If that's you, we want to pray for you. If you're new and you've never given your life to Christ, He's not the number one in your life. Now would be the right time to say, Jesus, come. I crown you Lord of my life. Come and save me from myself. I need you, Lord, now, more than ever before. Lord Jesus, here I am. Help me to be engaged in this race. Help me to lock my eyes on you. Help me to see things the way you see. Lord, I put you first in everything that I do. I trust you. You're a good God. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.